This is Will, and I'm the guitar player, and I'm not a rock star.
And he plays one on TV.
But I play one on TV. And the commentary to my left is the even lovelier Bobby Shepherd on drums there. Go ahead, Bob. Say something.
I'd prefer not to be on the left.
Hey, I don't know if you noticed that, Will. I did hold back the rock star. I didn't want to go to your head while we got this room of people in here, man. Hey, but let's start off the interview. Let's get on a serious note here. Could you guys just give us a short testimony how you came to the Lord?
I'll go first. This is Bobby. Good evening, all. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having us, Dale and Leah. Brief testimony of how I came to the Lord. I didn't want to go to hell. That much I was sure of. So as I began to see God, I was about 18 years old, and I felt a very strong pull. And like I said, bottom line, I'm not going to lie to you, I didn't want to go to hell. And so I got born again. But unfortunately, I backslid within the first year, primarily for lack of instruction in spiritual warfare. They didn't tell me that the enemy is going to come in and take away, snatch away what God had given me. So I spent the next, I guess I was 23 when I got rededicated. And really that time I knew what to be on guard for. Got in a solid church that taught me about spiritual warfare. And I was armed and dangerous, and I've been at it ever since.
And as for me, I've been pretty much raised in the church. Church is all that I knew, and my parents had established early on. I remember I must have been 4 or 5, and my mother started trying to share the plan of salvation with me, but I was really too young to understand all that. And then when I was about, we were in Germany, my dad was stationed there, and I remember coming home from school, and my mother took me in the back room, and she explained to me about salvation. And I realized at that point that, you know, going to church isn't what made me, isn't what saved me, and that that my righteousness was as filthy as anybody else. And I was confronted with the concept of sin. And so when I was 9, I came to the Lord. But like a lot of people, there came a point in my life where I decided I wanted to do things my own way. And I didn't dive into drugs or anything like that. But I learned how to play church really good, and I became what a lot of people would consider, I guess, the Pharisee. But I basically told God I was going to do my own thing, and and I think that's probably as bad or worse than going out and doing the things that we say sinners do. And so basically, I even remember a time when God showed me a vision of hell, and he told me flat out, he said, "I'm not going to talk to you again about this." And it still took a little while for that to take, but I remember coming home from work one day and saying I was tired of chasing, I was tired of wasting time and tired of playing games with God, and I repented. And I decided that Jesus was Lord, period, end of discussion, and I moved on from that. And then it wasn't too long after that that I started really getting involved with the dream that I always had, which was playing music. Because I'd always established that I wouldn't, even when I was in my time of rebellion, I chose to, I said, you know, God, I'm not going to play unless I can play for the kingdom. And since I knew I wasn't right, I guess music was nothing more than the dream after that. So, but that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Cool, great testimonies, guys. Man, I feel like you're getting rededicated to the Lord right about now. Does everybody in the band believe in Jesus? This is a three-part question, by the way. Does everybody in the band believe in Jesus? And if you do you guys pray together? And what is the role that God plays in this band?
Go ahead, Bob.
Go ahead, Will.
Go ahead, Mark. No. Well, first and foremost, and I know that's certainly not a dumb question. Yes, we do believe in Jesus. Everything that we do is about Him, for Him, through Him, by Him. There is no other name by which man may be saved. There is no other way to the Father, and we believe that, and that is the whole purpose of Jesus, Joshua 24:15. I know I'm probably anticipating a question further down, but the name of the band, Jesus, Joshua 24:15. Joshua 24:15 says, "Choose this day whom you will serve," and Jesus is our answer to that question. And we do pray together, when we come together as a band, we're not so much about having church in as much as we're about doing the mission that we're called to, and the vision, which is to go out and evangelize and let people know that, and Bob will probably say this later on, is that God is not your problem. And, you know, Bob will elaborate a little bit more on that, but we do think sometimes that a lot of bands get together and they spend their practice time having church. What we do is we know what we're supposed to do when we get together, and God is all about it. We're all about God, and He's all through that and in that, but we got to press in and do what we're called to do, which is excellent. So, Bob, you want to elaborate on that any?
Sure do. Everything we do is about Jesus. From the beginning, naming the band Jesus was so that there would be no doubt as to what we were about. And then in conjunction with reading our lyrics and hearing our music, we were so much about Jesus that till this day, Dale, I still wait to get attacked. Mainly, it's sad to say, but I always felt from the beginning that the church was going to come against us for playing the kind of music we do and trying to be about Jesus. But, coming from my background of spiritual warfare and being all about it, one of the key reasons we named the band Jesus was for the power that's in that name, and within that name every knee shall bow. At the sound of that name, demons tremble. So we wanted that name to go out before us wherever we went, and we simply have the attitude that, God, if you don't go with us, we're not going, because we truly have nothing to offer this world. In ourselves, we have nothing that we can give this world. But if we're obedient in the calling that God has called us to in every area, then the Spirit of God can work through us and bring into this earth what He has to bring into this earth, which will only come through us. Each of us as individuals, there's something that God can bring to this earth through each and every one of us as individuals, and it's up to us to be obedient with the giftings and the callings that He's given us, that thing that God has for this earth can come into existence. And so we're very seriously a band that has from day one been very serious about obedience. And there's tons of areas to be obedient in, and a lot of it, you know, we can sit here and preach, a lot of it applies to a lot of people serving in their local church. You know, people just, they get upset and they quit serving God for the silliest reasons. And it's ridiculous. We have a strong understanding that we're going to give an account. I tell people that all the time. You're going to give an account for what you do in this life and on this earth. And you're going to be held accountable for the talents. Rather, God gave you 5, 10, or 15, you're going to be accountable for them. And we have simply chose to take our talents and not bury them, but take them out and see them multiply. And that's what we've been about from day one.
Cool, man. That's awesome, man. You know, since Will brought this up anyways about the band name, because I was going to ask that later down the road. But, Bobby, you brought up a good point. And, you know, I've talked to Will about this a little bit. Since you guys put Jesus as your first thing, I've noticed in a couple, you know, on some Christian boards that people really dislike you putting Jesus in your band name. does that really bother you guys or anything? I guess it really doesn't because you kind of answered it, but, you know, because, you know, I noticed it in a review, and people get upset about it, and I just couldn't understand why.
Well, it's definitely not a thing that's going to bring peace into this earth. Another reason that I wanted to call the band Jesus was, I don't care who you are, when you hear that name, when you hear the name Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes in and it causes people to think. It causes you to think about eternity. It causes you to think about God. Now, in a lot of South America and all like that, Jesus is a very common name. But to us in the realm that we're in here up north and in a lot of places in the earth, you know, when you hear the name Jesus, it convicts people. A lot of people get mad at it because they know right away, I'm not where I'm supposed to be, or I'm not right with God, with my Creator. And that's one reason it causes a lot of controversy. We put it there, and we really don't care what anybody feels or thinks about it, because it comes back to, like we said before, it's all about our calling and us giving an account for what we were told to do, not anybody else.
I think also, you know, Bob's, I think, being a little more polite, but basically we don't really give a flying flip what other people think. You know, I've seen interviews with bands, mostly secular, who, you know, they're out to shock and they're out to, you know, they want to get people's attention. And the truth be told, they're all doing the same thing, and they're not shocking anybody because, you know, it's normal. You know, what Marilyn Manson does is not shocking. He's trying to shock. He's not doing anything new. Alice Cooper was doing that back in the 70s, you know. And here we come with the name Jesus, and all of a sudden people are shocked, which, to be honest with you, we really haven't received the kind of indignance that we've expected in our, we've been together, you know, about 11 years, and we haven't really received the indignance yet. I imagine it's coming, the more popular that I think we'll become. I'm not trying to say that to be arrogant. I'm just saying that, you know, the fact remains is that you look at our culture today, and, you know, there's a hostility towards Jesus Christ. Well, and here we go naming our band Jesus, and we expect some hostility. So, you know, I personally, I don't really care if somebody doesn't like it. We don't write our music. We don't perform. We don't do anything based on what man says. I'd like to have my peers' approval, and I'd like for people to enjoy our music and stuff. But ultimately, we're really only playing for an audience of one anyway, and that's Jesus Christ. So it really doesn't matter what other people think.
Wow, man, we could sit here and talk about this forever, man. This is a really good discussion, man. But we're gonna do a song. And we're going to do it off your first album, The Time of My Return. We're going to do the song Freedom. Can you guys tell us a little bit about the song?
The song, when I wrote the song Freedom, it came about. It was a very serious song about spiritual warfare, as far as I'm concerned. A lot of my songs that I write are like that. I try to share what I've learned a lot. It's not... I'm just not a head smart person. Everything that I know and everything that I'm about, I pretty much had to walk through it. And I prefer it that way because I get things better when I get bit. Now, if I want to learn,
you get bit a lot, don't you, Bob?
Yeah, if I want to learn something, you know, all I got to do is go in there and break it. And I'll know next time what button not to push or what knob not to turn.
Freedom, it's interesting because we live in a military town. We were raised around Fort Bragg, and I think all of us are either military brats, and I think Steve was in the military at one time. And you know, freedom isn't free, and that is certainly not only a truth for a nation; it's also certainly true for those of us who understand true freedom in Christ Jesus. And it's not free. And there's a line in the song that says freedom, there's a question that says, what would you do with it? Would you lay down your life? And we really need to think, especially in the time that we're in now, and that song was written back in 1996, but I think that the truth of that song is everlasting. What, you know, freedom, what would you do with it? So that's essentially what it's about.
Guys, how did the band get started?
Well, see, my mother and father loved each other very much, and what? Oh, not that far back. Huh? Bob, you wanna let him?
How did the band get started? I'd like to take a step back on something you were talking about earlier, Dale. If I might, you were asking, did we pray before? Did we pray together and stuff? Everything we do is soaked and covered in prayer. When we're in the studio, we don't do any tracking or anything before we go to the Lord in prayer, because, like I said before, we have nothing within ourselves that we can give to this earth except for sharing the good news of the gospel of Christ. And each and every one of us, I don't care how book smart you are, you need God to pull that off. If you're serious about God, you're going to pray that he puts people across your paths, and you never know who that's going to be. So it really takes God to do the work in this day and time. Everything we do, we pray over, because as we get the music comes from God. It's by the Holy Spirit. We don't sit down at any given time and say, we need a new CD or we need songs, let's sit down and write it. We don't do that. We simply go about our business, the business that God has called us to the ministry, and when it's time, God begins to drop songs in us. And God will actually share with me, has shared with me, and said, prepare yourself. I'm going to drop a lot of material on you in a very short amount of time. And that's how we get stuff like that happens. We're just, I don't know how to say it. We're just guys that love music and love the Lord, and it's everything that we're about and we're doing is from God. And that, so that goes back to where, brings us back to the point of how did the band get together. Well, when I got rededicated and I got real solid in learning about spiritual warfare, I was in a Christian band back before Jesus Joshua came into existence. I was in another band, and as I began to grow up in the Lord and the Lord began to share things with me and I began to learn things, he began to instill in me to move up in the leadership. And I was in a band that had basically everybody was mature Christians in that band, and I was a fresh, you know, a fresh convert. And so as Lord began to lead me up and say, I want you to move into leadership, I didn't think that they would receive it. And I kind of talked around with the band a little bit to find out who would be up for it or who wouldn't. And the band was kind of split. And so these were the guys that had kind of taught me. And now I was coming up and God was wanting me to lead, and I didn't think it would fly. And so I prayed and sought God, and he instructed me to step out and began to give me instruction about the band, Jesus Joshua, and how he was going to put it together and what he was going to do. And I had known Will from a local band. We were friends. I had helped his band out with some sound and stuff, and just had been watching him and noticed that he was a really good guitar player. And what really caught me about Will was that I noticed that he would play the same stuff, his leads, he'd play the same leads over and over, which was an indication to me that he was writing and not just flying by the seat of his pants, which was, that was the way of the day back in 1995.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted to be good, but nobody wanted to put the effort and the time that it took to sit down and actually learn and write. And Will did. And so as God told me to step out and begin and start this band, he was the first one. Actually, I didn't have to, you know, the Lord had spoke to me and said, I'm going to send you to people. So I didn't have to look. But Will was already pretty much right there. And, you know, I had been noticing him before I was instructed to leave the other band. So it was pretty much everything was falling into place, even though I didn't know it.
It was kind of funny. We had mutual friends, and we were at a party. It was a July 4th party, as I recall. And
let's call it a cookout.
Yeah, we'll call it a cookout. Yeah, you know, it was when the church gathers together, it's to eat, right? Yeah. And I decided to go visit over there. And Bob was showing us a video of his the previous band's power set, and I kind of leaned over to him. I was like, I was leaning over to him. I said, "Hey, man, if you're looking for another guitar player," I was kind of joking, and he looks at me dead in the eye, and he goes, "Man, if I'm looking for another guitar player, you're going to be the first one I call." And I had the tape from Bob's last band in my possession. I'm like, maybe I ought to go home and learn the material just in case he calls me. And I thought, nah, he's never going to call me. And 1 month to the day, of that party, he gives me a phone call. And I never gave you my phone number. Yeah, I think you got it from Matt or whoever it was. And
I don't know, but I must say, ever since then, I've had this nervous twinge in my eye
and several regrets. But but anyway. And I gotta say, I can't really see the screen the way we're facing, but I did happen to catch a question that was asked. And just so everybody knows, I was raised in the Nazarene Church, and I'm not necessarily denominationally oriented per se, but that is where my theological and doctrinal background is. Just in case anybody wants to know.
And that's why we call him the rock star, man. You know, that's how we found Bobby, man. two rock stars. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, to follow up with a little bit that what you just said, Bobby, you know, that, you know, you and Will get sit down in writing the songs. Is this a band effort, or just you and Will sit down and write the songs for the bands?
To date, pretty much God gives me the material, and I pretty much come up with the ideas. We're all talented musicians, and we can all write, but when God gives me specific songs, I it's really hard. I have to follow the Holy Spirit to the T on the stuff, and so it's pretty much I've got a strong outline of how it goes, and I don't play guitar. I do play bass, and I play bass and drums. I write bass. Let me say that. I write bass. I don't play it.
Playing is such a strong
word,
I'll
get
Bob.
An anointing. I'll sit down and I'll do the song, and then I'll never touch it again. You know, if I needed to play songs now, I'd have to go back and relearn them all over. It's just not something that I do. And a lot of times Will will come in, and I like to refer to Will as my guitar dictionary. He just he's full of it.
Thanks, Baba.
Well, it's as polite as I can be at this moment. Call me later, Dale, and we'll get more in depth on it. But,
that's the coffee talking.
If it, you know, I can go in if I don't. I'm a very rhythmic person. I hear bass and drums, and I hear them very tight together. And usually, if I have a guitar part, I'll hum it to him. If not, I generally can paint Will a picture by telling him a story or say I'm after this feeling or that feeling. And William pretty much goes to anything that the song needs. It's not what I want. It's never what I want. It's we got to sit down and we got to figure out how to get to what the Spirit of God is trying to pull out for this song. And that's pretty much how we do it. To date, that's how we've done it.
When Bob and I first got together, we had a, you know, one of the first things we did, we jammed a little bit, and then one of the first things, we spent a lot of time talking, and believe it or not, Bob actually did most of the talking, but he was showing me the vision, what God was showing him, and I was like, oh man, that is just exactly where I need to be. And so when we started writing some material, he already had, I think, like three or four songs already, bass and drums kind of laid out.
That I had started writing in the other band I was in, and right. The other guys were fighting me hard on it.
Yeah, and so he comes to me and he said, well, you know, I'm looking for this. And so I remember, I think it was Freedom, one of the song that you just heard. Now, he said, take this home, take the drum and bass home and learn it. And I come back, I did a couple of things with it, but I came back and I said, you know, Bob, he asked me, he said, did you work? And I said, well, I did, but I'll be honest with you. I'm really not sure exactly what it is you're looking for. So maybe if you just sang me the parts, I'll, and so we wrote that song based on what he was like, okay, I'm looking for this. And Bob doesn't, you know, he doesn't know chords. He doesn't know scales or anything like this. So he's kind of got to sing to me the parts, and I kind of got to find them. And I kind of like that way, because it forces me not to think like a guitar player, but more as a musician, because, you know, we guitar players are notoriously lazy, and no amens, Bob, okay? But we're notoriously lazy.
Amen to that, brother.
So we tend to think in positions, and we tend to think in fingerings, and I had to kind of invent some new things, or at least I thought I was, and it forced me out of my comfort zones, but I think the product speaks for itself.
Cool. Thanks a lot, guys, man. Before we go to play this next song here, I got a quick question. What kind of chips are you guys eating, man?
I'm sorry, guys. I'm chewing on some ice here. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's all right, man. I was just kidding. I was just kidding around. We're going to play a song off in your second album, You're Wrong. And could you tell us something a little bit about this song before we head into it, guys?
This song is dedicated.
Well, I don't want to say.
This song was written actually about the left, the liberal left. It's what this song is about, and there's direct reference to Bill Clinton in there, which is, I believe, the second verse. The words escape me right now. I believe it says, I know what you're about. I give God praise, you're going out. little known for your integrity. The pages of our history echo your obscenities, the image of what most have come to be. What that was a reference to, that as I talked to a lot of libs back when Bush was coming into office, a lot of them were saying, you know, Bill Clinton's our president. You know, he did all this and did all that. That's the guy we want, you know. And it was just pretty disgusting to me at the time. And so the only thing, you know, I could do, you know, did this, was a song, you know, did God give me the song? I don't know. When I sit there and say, you know, I wanted to write this about that, you know, it had to come from somewhere. So
we're one of the things that I think everybody needs to know is that we're not a political band, and we don't have a problem with, and we certainly encourage that, you know, whoever, you know, in this democracy, whoever you choose to vote for, that is your right, and you should. But we were making a commentary on the culture and the there was a, and I forget who, I think it was William Bennett, who said that, you know, he wrote a book called Defining Deviance Down. And basically, things that were not acceptable at one time have now become easily acceptable. And it seems that there are things that in institutions where we should have higher integrity and we should have higher example seems to be losing that. And so although this song is deeper than that, that is the inspiration behind it.
Cool. This is one of my favorite songs, too, on this album. Just to tell you some little side note, they had a contest when they used to have a band form on Firestream. They were giving away a free CD. Who could ever figure out what the song meant? Of course, I won it. But I already had the CD, so I got something better. I got an autographed picture. I got the rock star's autograph.
This feeling that it won't be long. God's coming back and he's coming strong. He's gonna take what's right and cast away what's wrong. Better wake up, better realize who's speaking truth, who's telling lies. Comes down to who confesses, who denies. You better know what you believe. We'll be right back.
I got a kink in my neck, man, from headbanging. If you just joined the room, we are doing a live interview with Jesus Joshua 2415. We have Will and Bobby in the room with us, guys. Hey, the link they're putting up here, you can order their CDs from, man. It'd be a great Christmas gift for yourself. And I really not that expensive. And they just got a new CD that they just put out, I think it was last month when they put it out. And it's called Three the Hard Way. Would you guys explain about this new album? I knew you guys had a little problem with getting this album out. Could you talk about this new album a little bit, guys?
Well, we wouldn't have had much problem if we hadn't had you bugging us all the time, Dale. Before we go any further, I want to say that a big thank you and shout out to the Rock and Rev, Jim Bishop, who's been who's an old friend and a great supporter of the band.
We mean old.
And we do mean old, yes. Matter of fact, Jim, did you get that hip fixed?
and we do mean old.
But Three the Hard Way, there you can kind of read it and see a bunch of different meanings out of it, but basically it's our third CD and we did it the hard way. But
you get it.
Yeah, Bob, you're really funny. Shut up. No, you don't have to hit me, Bob. But anyway, don't make me puke on your mic. The CD, if you want to see a deeper spiritual meaning, you know, you think of the three nails that Christ took. Basically, the whole CD is one sermon. It's just different parts of a single sermon, and it's all about it's pointing to Jesus. It's about the plan of salvation, and it's about everything that we stand for. There's not one song on there that's not meant to be anything more than a glorification of Christ, and it's all about preaching. You know, there are a lot of people who are afraid to preach, and that's fine. And there are bands that are not meant for that, and that's fine. I certainly don't want to disparage that, but our mission is to preach the gospel, and so that's what our material is writing. And if was my lovely assistant want to talk?
Only thing I can say about this CD, Dale, is that I'm very close to it. I get so close into when we do a CD. I've got so much that I got to do on these things that I really don't get some of this stuff till months on down the road, you know. So right now, as far as what I think about the CD, I was just seriously wrapped up in being obedient and getting the sound and getting the music according to the Spirit. And so some of this stuff, you know, you guys are going to have to give me feedback and tell me, because I'm too close to it still. I mean, you know, in the course of it, I listen to those tracks so much, I really don't want to hear them anymore.
Bob, we do have to play them live, you know that.
Just remember, they're fresh to everybody else, but I need a break.
it's funny, because, you know, you said, this is your third album. You know, and if you go to, like, the Christian boards or if I read reviews, it's like the big buzz. I mean, this is a great album, man. I mean, this is by far the most solid thing you guys put out. But it's almost like a new buzz, like you guys like a new band, and you guys have been together for 11 years. You know, do you sense that when you read the post? I mean, a lot of good stuff is coming across that I read about the band. You know, of course, you get your guys that don't know Christian music or metal, so you got to bypass those people. But have you noticed that, like there's like a new, like this is a new buzz, like do you like you guys are like a new band? Does it, now, what I'm trying to say, does it kind of surprise you?
No, not really, because, you know, it takes a long time for God to prep his people to do a work. You know, God called us to this band, and it doesn't always happen overnight. I mean, look how long it took Moses, you know, to get where he was getting to. So it takes a long time. We have a lot of junk within our lives that God has to continually pound and get out of us, and we just have to be kept put back in the fire and to be refined over and over. And we knew, you know, we were not in any hurry. We're not trying to be rock stars or anything like that. like I said before,
speak for yourself,
Dale,
Bob.
We're just trying to be obedient, and the more we're obedient, the farther along we get with this thing. But you know, there's so much that we can preach and teach about just what God's done in our individual lives as band members over the last 11 years. And if it never went anywhere, there's four guys in this band that Jesus Joshua has changed our lives and got us through this life over the past years.
I think one of the things that people need to realize is when you're not after what the world says you need to be after, what the world measures as success. I'm not knocking that, but the measure of success that we based on is whether or not God approves. And you know, we tend to think that we're going to get into a Christian band and we're going to do all this and then we're going to get signed and we're going to go out on a world tour and this, that, and the other. And there was a time in my life when that certainly was appealing, but I cannot sit back and say that if it were all to end tomorrow, I wasn't successful in what I'm doing. The only measure of success, as far as I'm concerned, I think as far as Bob and Jay and Steve are concerned, is whether or not we were faithful to the call that was on our lives. And sometimes you know only history can really be a fair measurement of that. You know, we've never had our sights on what the world says. You know, this is our third independent CD. And somebody is going to get ministered to by this, and it's going to have nothing to do with what the world thinks it should. And I'm not knocking how people go about their business, but I think as far as Jesus Joshua is concerned, we don't measure our success based on what everybody else does.
Hey, Bobby, I know you guys ain't trying to be rock stars. That's why I pray for Will all the time, man. God lays it on my heart to pray for him at all times, brother. So don't worry about it. I'm on my knees praying for him, man. That's just a joke, guys. If you just joined the room, I'm just razzing with the guys a little bit. Hey, boy, we'll play a song off in this album, and I'm going to ask you guys to tell us about the song. I mean, it's pretty plain and simple, By God. So can you guys tell us a little bit about this song?
By God was one of the first... Excuse me. It was one of the first songs written on this CD. It's the first track on this CD. It was written, and I can't remember what the inspiration was for it, because I mean, just God did so much over this CD. I have to get my instruction, get the song down, and move on. But I would have to say it's probably just a song of praise, as near as I can tell at this point. I wish it was deeper than that for me. But I got a lot of stuff going on, and as far as I can remember, it was just... I remember that when we went to write this CD that we had to go someplace different. And so I was just pushing to go someplace different, and just God gives me the lyrics. And some of it is me singing about writing out of personal issues, about things that I've gone through and everything, and that's all I got to say about that.
I remember when Bob first brought the lick to us, it was one of those songs. Very, very rarely do we actually jam on something. We might jam on a riff and we'll record it, or Bob will say, well, I've got an idea for something, I want to try it out, and we may never actually hear that lick again for months until all of a sudden he'll say, okay, I got the song. And we came in, and kind of like the song You're Wrong, which was a song that we jammed on as a band, actually back before Steve joined, as I recall.
Yeah.
And we had pretty much all the parts, we just didn't have it refined. And this song came about like that, except, as I recall, when we first started doing the sessions for By God, pretty much most of the arrangement was already done. It was just a matter of learning the parts. As we were sitting down and working on it, it really took shape really, really quickly. And a lot of this material on this new album did. It took shape fairly quickly. There was a couple of long stretches, but most of the new material came out in quick succession.
Interview with Jesus Joshua 24:15. We got Will, the rock star, guitarist for the band, and Bobby, more considered, holds back. I know he can go crazy on the drums, but we'll go into that later on that. Hey, I got a couple more questions, then we're going to wrap it up, guys. But what are your hopes and dreams and goals for Jesus Joshua 24:15?
I have personal dreams, but I really have become, I don't know if this is so much age and no wisecracks from any of the peanut gallery, or if it's maturity or what, and again, no comments from the peanut gallery. But I think that I've really come to a point where it doesn't really matter where I'd like Jesus Joshua to be around as long as the Stones, and I don't see any reason why this can't be this is my last band as far as I'm concerned. I'm Bob and I share a common vision, and all I care about is when I stand before Jesus Christ, you know, and I give an account for what I've done, that He will be pleased. And you know, some people might think that that's, you know, oh, that's nice, Will, but what about while you're here on Earth? Well, you know, I don't think you can separate the two. I think what you do for the kingdom here is just as relevant as you know, when you stand before the Father in eternity. I would love dearly, on a personal level, I'd love to tour the world, and I'd love to sell lots of CDs, and that's a subtle hint. But it doesn't really matter, because my success is not wrapped up in that. And before I start to weep, Bob, do you want to add anything to that?
Sure do, Slick Willie. Let me tell you something, Slick. Honestly, the only thing that I hope to attain is I just have got to, with all my might and everything that I have got to turn people on to Jesus. I've got to get people to consider where they stand with God in this life. He's coming quickly. The day of salvation is at hand for all of us, because, you know, you could go out tonight in a car accident. So every minute, you know, there's no guarantee. We're not promised tomorrow. And I've got to be obedient to the vision and to the music that God is given us. I've got to be faithful in serving and working that music. And I just really, really want, I just love it. It just really rocks me when people get it. You know, when they just listen to your music and they get it. And they say, man, I just feel God coming off of this stuff. Because I know when people tell me that, it just really lets me know that we did good in what we were supposed to do, and I did good in preserving the vision and the spirit of the music, and prayed through and got everything, every I dotted, every T crossed, so that we put the spirit of God in it, and it's surely going to come out on the other end, and do that power will transfer and do what it's supposed to do on this earth. That's my true hope.
There's a, what was that question there, Mark?
So does the drummer sing?
Well, that's a question we've been asking ourselves for the last 11 years. yes, he doesn't do lead vocals, but a lot of the background vocals is Bob. There's a lot of stuff, you know, Bob won't tell you about himself, because we don't have that kind of time. But
can't take you anywhere.
I can tell you, as he is one of my deepest friends, that there's a lot of stuff that God does through Bob, that Bob allows God to do through him. I have learned a lot about how to minister from the stage, and this has nothing to do with grabbing your Bible and carrying on a sermon. There's a lot about when you have people's hearts and minds and eyes, and when we stand on stage, and any band that does this, we have people's attention. What are you going to do with that attention? And there's a lot of things that Bob does behind the scenes that many, many will never know and never appreciate. He has, I can say this personally, he has lifted me. He, you know, I would never be where I'm at, whatever, wherever I'm at.
You're at Mark's.
I'm at Mark's, that's right. I would never be here if it weren't for Bob, and I'll take him out and go cut me a switch, Bob.
You got it.
But I, you know, I owe him a lot, and I really, you know, this, when we come together in agreement, I think you guys can hear, if you like the music, I think you guys can hear the result of when men and women agree, where two or three are in agreement, things can happen. We get ourselves out of the way, and that's the one thing I've learned. And go ahead, Bob.
As far as a question, does a drummer sing? I did some solo stuff. I did a couple of songs on the first CD, and I did one on Once and For All, which is I Believe, which is basically, I Believe is what it says. I Believe, it's who I am and what I'm about, heart and soul.
And it's quite good. You got a little bit of an English accent on that song, as I recall. You have a little Aussie sound there.
Crikey.
Cool, man. You know, Bobby touched on this a little bit on that when I asked that last question, but feel free to add more if you want to on this, Bobby. But when Jesus Joshua is done and over with, what do you want people to say and think about the band?
Well, you know, my whole experience started for me when I heard Stryper. You know, early on, back in the early 90s, when I first got born again, if I'd had this type of music to listen to, it would have pulled me to God. But I wasn't digging the Petra and the older stuff, the Garmo and Key and the stuff that was floating around. I just wasn't digging it. And when I heard Stryper, man, I ran to God. I used to play in the clubs at one time. That was my job, was playing in the clubs up and down the East Coast in a bar band. And I used to listen to Stryper before my shows to get me warmed up to go out and play my secular shows. So when Stryper came out, man, I literally just ran to God and never stopped. I knew what I had to do. As far as when it's all over and done, I just really would love people to approach me and say what I would say to any member of Stryper right now. It's because of your faithfulness in doing what God called you to do, and you not getting disgusted with people, and you not quitting, but you really, to the point of making people upset, would not bend on the vision that God gave you. And by not wavering and not bending on that vision, lives got changed and people got born again. I would just really love to have that effect on people. It would really mean a lot to me to know that because like Will said, you know, there's a lot that I have to toil with, even to the point of probably at times I'm sure my bandmates have maybe got a little miffed at me at times.
But, you think?
But I've made it clear from the very beginning of this band that I was not going to bend and I was not going to budge when I know God's telling me what to do. If I don't know, I'm the first one to tell you, I don't know. Let's see what we need to do. But if God's telling me something, I will not bend and I will not budge on it. And it's because of that would, you know, me being the bad guy somewhat, it would make it all better for me if I knew that people, and like I said, there's people out there, we get emails and you know, people encourage us, and I know people are getting it, and that's all that really matters to me.
I want to say, I was joking a little bit earlier, you know, Bob, you know, anybody who's been in a band understands that when you got four or five personalities, you're going to have all these little stupid, petty little things to deal with, and unfortunately, even in Christian circles. Sometimes I think especially in Christian circles, and those kind of things really shouldn't be. And I think a lot of it is selfishness and pride. And I knew when God called me to this, and that was the big thing, I knew I was called to this. And some people might think that's cheesy, but, you know, I don't really care. And, you know, there are those who you know, you got to know where the anointing falls. And I recognize where the anointing of leadership falls. And I absolutely think, I don't just think it, I know it, I understand what submission does. And, you know, I chose to come in and obey the vision and obey what God has done and who he's put in place. And if you read the scripture, especially in the Old Testament, we see men who were raised up to do things and they didn't think they could do it. And I know many times Bob's like, man, you know, this is just overwhelming. But then he always says, you know what? I don't care. If it's just me and God, Jesus Joshua is going to go on. And you know, I'm not going to stand before him and say I couldn't do it because Will wouldn't, you know, submit or Jay or Steve wouldn't, you know, because nobody followed me. You know, what's one thing got to do with the other? And so, you know, I recognize that. And I got to tell you, I've been absolutely 100% blessed by it. And yeah, I think, you know, Bob and I have had our share of disagreements, but you know, it's never been a dividing thing. And I always say, you know, Bob, I don't see it, but you know, go ahead, Bob.
When each of us was called to the band, it was very important that we understood, I told each member to understand that God is calling you to be here. Don't look at it and say, well, this is cool. You know, you got all this gear and all this stuff. And, you know, I'm not with a band right now, so I'll hook up with you. I bent over backwards to try and get the guys to understand. Don't do that. You have to be here because God called you to be here. And there's times when you're going to, you know, you need to write it down. I've told them before, write it down, stick it in your pocket. Write it down on a sheet of paper and stick it in your pocket. Because you're going to have to pull it out and read it eventually again to remind yourself. You know, when you get mad at me for whatever reason, you're going to have to pull that out and remind yourself that God called you to this. And if God called you to it, he's given you what you need to get through it. And he always has. And and I'm confident he's going to continue to. And, you know, As we get more successful, there's going to be bigger and badder demons coming our way. But you know what? We have not changed our mode of operation from day one.
That's right.
Point blank. And the good thing about this band is we pressed in to do everything ourselves, to get our own recording studio, to do everything, because that was what God instructed us to do, so that we would be clean and separate, that we would not have to follow anybody's instructions except for his. So I don't have to worry about my lyrical content. All I have to worry about is being obedient and being faithful to God, and he's going to take care of everything else. I don't have a paycheck riding on what I say in my music or how good it is or how many CDs I sell. And that's where we started. That's where we're at now, and that's where we're going to stay.
And that's probably where we'll end it.
Amen, man. That's awesome, guys, man. All right, man, we're going to play another song from the new album, Three the Hard Way. By the way, if you go where the links are, where they say on the MySpace, you can pick this album up. Just come out last month, $13, shipping and everything. You can't miss out on some killer music, man. I had to beg Will to play the song. He wanted to play another stupid song on the album. Oh, I'm just kidding. He wanted to play another song. I said, Will, I want to play this song. This is my favorite song. He goes, I guess it's okay, man. So I'll let Will introduce the next song and tell us a little bit about it.
Troy wrote, it's worse to be in a four-man band with six personnel.
Will's a little tied up right now reading the screen. he wants you to set up the next song, Will.
Oh, yeah. is this thing on? Oops.
You know what song you want.
What song are we playing again? This is actually a special song for Dale. He really, really dug this song. It is a really, really good tune.
I'll get it later.
But, you know, there's something that I think is very, very important for people to understand about this piece, and that is that no matter where you go, no matter where you are, God is always there, and it's based on a psalm of which I forget, Psalm 295, I guess. for those of you scripture,
read all of them until you find
yeah.
it.
Yeah, but basically, it's, you know, it says no matter where you go, no matter where you make your bed, no matter what situation you're in, God is always there.
Very anointing song. You're always there. Hey, Will can actually play the guitar in this one, too, so listen.
Shut up.
Run away to hide myself from you.
Yes. Yeah, you're right, Pastor Jim. I do got a kind of a soft side of me, brother. This song, man, still gives me goosebumps every time I listen to it, and I've heard it, I don't know, quite a few times, man. If you just joined the room, we are doing an interview with Jesus Joshua with 2415, and I'm asking my last question, guys, and it's going to be a tough one, so listen very closely. It's very spiritual, and it's really deep. You guys ready? Do you guys like to go fishing?
Don't! I think I'll let Bob answer that tough one first while I think about my answer.
Yeah, I like to go fishing. I don't have the time to do it, but I haven't gone fishing. I guess it's been a good 3 years now. What can I say?
I'm definitely not the fisherman in the group. I think if I was one of the disciples, I probably would have starved. I just don't see the appeal, Dale. But I can understand, since you live in a third world country, Dale, that you know, you probably, that's all you can do up there. It's probably your livelihood. You probably don't really work, do you? You probably go up to the, you know, probably dig a hole in the ice and fish out of that, get some whale blubber and whatever else. No, I'm not the fisherman of the group.
Oh, you're lucky I love you, bro. You're just lucky I love you. Hey, if you guys don't mind, I'd like to open up the room. Maybe some people want to ask you some questions. We'll do it for probably about a half hour, if even that long, because we did this interview, did run a little longer than usual. But if you want to ask anybody want to ask any questions, raise their hand.
Hey, Dale, I just want to say I appreciate you getting it on that song.
Just wanted to ask real quick, though, where'd you get the inspiration for the band name?
It was pretty much instructional. It wasn't really inspiration. We actually started off with another name.
We were
going to
call
the band Fury. And but that name was already taken, and that was when I had at the time Jesus was already gnawing at me. But you know, there's times when I'm getting instruction from God and I'm just fighting it. I'm like everybody else. I'm fighting it. The song Nails was one of the last songs recorded on Once and For All. One of the first ones I got. Last one recorded, because I didn't like the lyrics. And I kept going around the block. And at the end of the session of Once and For All, I was like, I got to get some lyrics for Once and For All. And God just says to me, you ready to put the lyrics I already gave you for it? And so I did it, and I just didn't care for it, and that was the one song that everybody's really digging off that CD. They're still digging it today.
I got to tell you, I remember when Bobby announced that our name was going to be Jesus. I was like, Bob, can I talk to you? And
here we go.
And I took him aside, and I think we sat in the car for like 3 hours discussing it. And I didn't so much have a problem with it in as much as I had a problem with, you know, Bob, we go out with that name, you know, I know we're going to get it from the world. I expect to get pounded by the world. That's, you know, anytime you're doing things for Christ, you're going to get pounded by the world. But I don't need my brothers and sisters in the church to pound me too. But Bob, I finally, after all the discussion, I looked Bobby in the eye. I said, look, if you tell me that God told you to do it, you won't hear another argument from me. And he said, God told me to do it. And that was the end of the discussion.
And really, it was no problem for me, knowing what I know about spiritual warfare. I needed that name to go out before us.
I just want to know, man, what it is that you guys do right now as a band, and as you guys continue to gain popularity, to make sure that you guys stay in touch with your guys' fans and interact.
Well, first of all, let me say that we're not doing anything different now than we were when we started. Everything that we're seeing now is really just, we've kind of seen it coming. And I know that sounds a little arrogant, and I don't mean it to be. It's just that, you know, God showed us the big picture. I have to be honest that I didn't see it all. I saw a lot of pieces, but, you know, that comes through obedience and submission. But and I think that's the big thing right there, is that we're not going to change how we operate just because, you know, maybe we've got some popularity or whatever. I also, as we become more well known, I think, I know for me personally, I'm going to just be digging deeper into and depending more upon what God has given me, because it's a real temptation to think, oh, I got it now. and oh, I got it now, God, I can handle it. And that's not what it's about. There's a whole we're in a whole new realm, I think, of spiritual warfare. I think we're in a whole new realm because now people, you know, before Satan tried to attack us and he couldn't get us on that level. Well, now that people are paying attention to us, now all of a sudden he's going to step it up, and we better be ready. Go ahead, Bob.
I just wanted to say that at this point in time, most of what is going on with our band, I would have to contribute straight to Jim Bishop, his leadership and his promotion skills, his management skills, everything that he's doing.
His breath.
He works directly with us. I don't know what he's up to all the time, and I don't need to know. God told him to do what he's doing. We know that. He and I have gotten together, and I know that. And so I just basically let him go do what he does, and he follows. We just continually pray that God open the doors. If we're not supposed to go through, slam them shut. And we just stay in touch and stay in prayer. And as Jim goes out, he continues to have success. And all we have to do is our main focus is just where, you know, we have to entertain, but we're not about being entertainers. We understand that if we get our part right and go out and do that show and get our parts right, then the Spirit of God is going to flow off of that platform and the people are going to get it. It's our job to be focused and rehearsed. And when we do a concert, we're not actually playing to the people. We're actually playing to God, and we're trying to show God that we've studied up, we've put it in, we've done all that you've instructed us to do, and so we're playing to God, and then God will, in return, seeing that we've been faithful with it, will shoot it right back down through us, and it goes out to the people. So if we got our ducks in a row and we do what we're instructed to do, it's coming off of the platform, and the people are going to get it.
And it's going to have little to do with us anyway, other than us being obedient.
Cool. Hey, guys. First, I want to say awesome band and great testimony and insight into your music. I got to get the CD. I love to support indie bands as much as I can because you guys need it more than anyone. And yeah, I'm on the mic. Anyway, I don't have a question for you. I have five questions for you if you're up for it. So anyone or all of you can chime in. First question. Metallica or Stryper?
Stryper.
Stryper.
Okay. Chinese or Mexican?
Mexican.
Mexican. Mexican.
Simpsons or CSI?
Simpsons. Say it
again. Simpsons or CSI?
The Simpsons for me.
I'm generally hanging out with my wife. I don't watch too much TV.
We're not listening to that, Bob.
La, I'm not listening.
Mustang or Corvette?
Shut your mouth. I gotta have a Mustang.
I gotta have a Mustang.
All right, and the most important one, Les Paul or Strat?
I am a Les Paul man, but you know, you forgot one very important question. Ginger or Marianne? Skipper.
Marianne. All right, thanks guys.
Dude, that is so harsh. Leah and Gilligan. Whatever, dude. All right, well, first of all, thanks, guys. Appreciate you coming. Excellent interview. Dale, great job. But I love the name, first of all. And, you know, the verse, so many people are familiar with it because it's like, you know, a major Christian verse.
We're trying to be serious here, Bob.
I think the thing that a lot of people don't realize is, you know, before Joshua said what he said, he was like reading out the Israelites. He just was reading them out. And he just laid it out to them. And finally, at the end, he said, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." So, at any rate, You guys going to play Cornerstone? Have any ambition for that?
We'll play anywhere that can afford to bring us in, actually. As anybody who's played in a band well knows, that especially with gas prices being the way they are, we can't just up and go place. We'll go wherever God tells us to go, and we have done that. We have done it for no money, but because, you know, we're not about profit. We're about being prophets, but sorry about that. You know, we would like to play Cornerstone, certainly. As far as ambition is concerned, to me, every gig is as big as Cornerstone. I do want to something, unless Bobby wants to add to that.
No addition.
Something that you said about Joshua reading the people out. I think one of the things that we're trying to do as a band with that statement, with that verse in there, is that, look, we've made our choice, and Joshua flat out said, look, you know, the rest of y'all can do whatever it is that you do, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But he puts the question to him, and I think that's the question that needs to be put to people today, is choose who you're going to serve, because you're going to serve somebody. So that's basically all we're asking.
Yeah, we got some cool T-shirts that on the front, we just have our logo on the front left chest, and on the back it just says choose real big, and it has an arrow up and an arrow down, and that's pretty much what this band and what this ministry is about. We gotta let people know you gotta choose. If you don't choose, you made a choice not to choose. So you're going one way or the other. Snap out of it.
Next question.
I don't see any more hands up, guys. So I guess that's pretty much it, man. Well, Diz got a question. Hang on.
Yeah, I'm going to get back on here for a second. Let me turn this up. Okay, forgive me if I missed this earlier in the interview, but how about musical influences earlier on?
Early on, I'd say my first musical influence was Kiss for a long time. And then probably I had a void where I wasn't into music at all. And then probably once I started playing drums, I was pretty heavy into Rush, very heavy into Ozzy when he first came out and was solo, very heavy into Queensryche. And then when I got born again, like I said, I went Striper and Guardian were probably, and Bride are probably the three biggies for me.
I've always loved music. I was raised in a household that always had music, except rock. When I really started getting into what made me want to play guitar was Edward Van Halen. He was and is my biggest influence and hero. yeah, he is now, I suppose. He was the one, when I heard him play, I was like, man, I've got to do that. It wasn't, I'd like to do that. I have to do that. I believe it was Somebody Get Me a Doctor, as I recall. And, of course, I was into, I was into Rush, and I was into all of Ozzy's guitar players. And also one of my top favorite guitar players. Yeah, Jakey Lee was a big influence on me. But one of my favorite guitar players, which you don't hear it in my playing so much, but Neil Schon from Journey was a huge influence on me.
Another slouch.
And then, of course, at the time, a lot of people were telling me, you know, well, why aren't you listening to Christian rock? And I flat out told them, well, because it stinks. I'm like Bob, when Striper came out, I was like, now this is quality stuff. And Striper and Guardian and... But I think the one band that kind of solidifies all of us as far as influence is concerned is probably Queensryche's Empire. Was a big
Empire.
Influence. Empire. And not Silent Lucidity, no. But that
Silent
was
Silent Stupidity.
But that was a big influence as far as sound and production and performance. I realize that's not necessarily the Christian answer to have, but it was certainly a big
influence. I'd like to add, William said that Christian music at the time stunk. I don't think it's that it stunk. I think it's that it's not where it is today, or it's not readily available, because I'm sure there's a lot of older guys that, you know, back in the day, you know, Christian music was doing it for a lot of people. God was doing his work. So I think it was just, you know, what people were willing to put their money behind and push to send around the world was just, you know, because Stryper started somewhere. They were in a garage somewhere, so the music was there.
Right, right.
You know, there was other bands out there. You know, Bride's been around for ages, and Rez Band was there, and there's a lot of great stuff out there. It's not that they ever stunk. It's just, you know, radio's going to play what they want to play.
Well, I was 17 at the time, and, you know, a lot of...
everything stinks at 17.
Yeah, you know. But, you know, it didn't compare, and, you know, at the time, I wasn't really caring so much what they said as much as that when I listened to the music, I wanted to hear quality. And to me, there wasn't a whole lot of quality. Another band that was really huge was White Cross, whom I had the privilege to see.
Yeah.
Back in 92 at the Ichthus Festival in Kentucky. I know we got some Kentucky people out there. And I got to see them in up near Lexington, I think it was. But they were just incredible.
I think White Cross to me was I think we're more we resemble White Cross a lot more, because back in the day there was, you know, when Stryper was out, they weren't making that Jesus reference in their music so much. It was always the one, or he's the one, or you're doing it for the one, or he. And, but when White Cross came out, they were, you know, Jesus this, Jesus that, and that probably held them back a little bit in some circles. But it really pushed it through for a lot of us.
Next question.
Another thing I want to point out to you guys here: if you go to the website, you can get all three of these albums, plus get the promotional pack, Black and White. It's the promoter CD with a DVD for $30, everything. But hey, I got a question for Will. You know, you were asked, you know, you said you grew up listening to music, but you didn't grow up listening to rock. So what did your parents think about you being in a rock band? Even if it is a Christian rock band. What did your parents think about that?
Well, I got to give a little perspective. My dad was country and western, and there was plenty of southern gospel, and which, yeah, you can apologize for that too. But there was some other, and there was some stuff that was actually pretty good. My dad had those of you who are old enough to remember what 8-tracks were, and which I do, and I don't want to hear any comments out of you, Mark. You know, my dad had the platters, and some of that stuff was really, the old soul stuff was really good. But my parents were pretty well down on the rock thing, because they felt more for taste than for spiritual reasons. And but when I started getting involved in rock, at first they didn't like it necessarily.
I'm going to hell.
But yeah, I didn't actually get told I'm going to hell, well, at least not from my parents. You know, I think what really kind of nailed it for them is when that was right around the time that people were doing the record burnings. You know, people go out and burn the old vinyl records, and my dad actually had a family meeting. For those of you who despise that term, we had a family meeting, and he says, you know, some of the stuff you're listening to is probably not great. And I looked at my dad in the eyes and said, well, you know, Dad, you know, some of the lyrics that I hear coming out of the music that you like is not exactly wholesome, you know. And
Pop told him to turn or burn.
Yeah, turn so you don't burn. You know, I guess at first they thought it was a phase, but when they saw that I was sticking to it, they really didn't hammer me too much about it. I mean, I got a little flack, but not as much as some people do. Bob, you want to?
I just want to make a comment. I'm from a large family. I've got four brothers, and I pretty much, you know, I speak the abundance of my heart. So if I'm going to church and you know, whatever's going on with me serving at church or whatever is what I talk about on the phone while my brothers are cussing like drunken sailors. And every time I said the word Jesus, they got so convicted. They told, They just told me I'm tired of hearing you beat me up with the Bible. I'm like, what are you talking about? So we, you know, I just got pretty much cast out of the family. I'm like, well, you know what? I got to go do what I got to do. I'm going to give an account for it. So love you. Mean it. Got
to
go.
Yeah, I'm sorry about cussing at you, Bob. I'm just kidding for those of you who are listening. For those of you who are new to this, I don't swear at all. And that I think that's one of the big things I think that's one of the big things that, you know, my folks, you know, even though they don't particularly like my style of music. I think my mom's been to one of our shows, but
she had to be ejected.
Yeah, she was crowd surfing. That was rude.
Can we get a bouncer up front?
Yeah,
please?
I had to call security on my own mom. I can't believe that. But they saw that I stuck to it, and so even though they don't particularly like the music, they understand the fruit of my life. Bob, would you quit licking the microphone? That's really disgusting. Next question, please.
Hold on a second. As a point of clarification, as the programmer, I do want to mention that those are not DVDs. They're enhanced CDs that you're running on your PC.
God bless you.
I'd hate for somebody to put it in your DVD and not see these guys, especially the goofs.
God bless this man.
Let's pray for Mark.
Please. You see what I have to work with here. Next question, please.
God bless us, everyone.
Somehow I get the impression that the more you guys talk, somebody in the background is going to be your subliminal messenger. So, getting back to it, getting back to the questions.
I can't even say subliminal.
You know, knowing how your parents, felt about the type of music you were doing, what was the reaction of people in general to your music? I mean, you're in, like, I don't know if you're part of the Bible Belt, in the South, whatever, you know. I'm not sure where the Bible Belt begins and ends, but how do people react normally to what you do?
I think we're in the buckle of the Bible Belt.
We are on lockdown.
Yes. I think they've tightened it up a notch. Be honest with you, there are people that actually have a reaction to our music. There for a while it seemed like we couldn't get a gig because nobody knew we existed. And we were here right in the backyard. But I could honestly say I think only one time we've had any major concern. It was when we were up in Lynchburg playing.
Just because the guy didn't pray before he brought us in.
Yeah, but other than that, I've never encountered much problem. If anybody's had any objection to what we are or who we are, it's never been voiced to me. They just don't buy the CD, I guess.
God's just kind of always signed off on everything that we always did as we went along. It's like, well, you know, I have to take my word for it, and God's always done some miraculous thing to where, you know, we're all sitting around looking at each other and go, well, there you go. You going to argue with that?
Yeah, I remember we had our first gig as a band together. We had been together writing for about a year and rehearsing, and then we did our first gig, and I remember it was at a local camp, and we were invited to go have some barbecue. For those of you who are not from the South, that is pig, and some fried chicken. All the stereotypes are true. And but we've learned not to judge anybody by the color of their necks. I remember that there was two ladies that were like, "What's?" They were kind of back behind us, and they were just out of earshot, so we were kind of eavesdropping. They said, "What's their name again?"
The legal kind.
Jesus. Well, at least you know where they stand, and that pretty much sums up the reaction that we've gotten. There, people may not necessarily like our music. But they never given us any grief over it.
Yeah, we've pretty much, you know, like I said in the interview earlier, you know, I expected to get slammed from day one, and we haven't got slammed yet. Doesn't mean that we won't, particularly where we find ourselves 11 years later in the world in which we're living. I get a little nervous when I start thinking about traveling to other countries now because, you know, we're subject to somebody walk in and shoot us on the stage because the name of the band. You know, so it just means you got to know that you were called by God, and you got to know that where you're going, you're being sent by God. If you're just doing it because you want to go be a rock star, then, you know, you better be ready to take the big one when it comes.
And I think that's the determination.
It's a mad world.
That we have, I think that's a song, isn't it?
It's a mad man.
I think that's the determination that we have, you know, because truth be told, I'm sure, and Bobby's expressed this to us before, you know, Bob, and I mean, Jay and Steve and I, we, you know, particularly Jay and I have been with Bob for a long time now, and there were times when it seemed like there was a lot of dead, you know, we weren't doing anything, but Bob said, you know, I'm just happy that you guys, you know, have hung in there, and I'm like, Bob, where else am I going to go? I mean, I've been called here. This is not about just a desire. It's about a calling, so... next question.
Boy, that's good, man. Will, I'm still, like I said, I'm praying for you, rock star, man, you know. But, hey, that looks about it, guys. I'd like to thank Will and Bobby for taking some time out and doing this interview. Love you guys both, man. Love your music, you know. And I'd like to thank Mark for setting us up, man, for you guys, so we can actually do an interview. Because if we had done over at Will's place... Instead of taking it an hour and 45 minutes, it took us 6 hours, you know, because of all the lag time. And, but, hey, I do appreciate you guys coming out, doing the interview. And thank you, guys.
You got it.
Thanks a lot, Dale.
God bless you for coming. It was great to have you here tonight. And come back again.
You guys should be pretty blessed, man, because we're averaging around 22, 23 people in the room. At all times, man. So that's a pretty good turnout for this room. And so it was pretty good, man. And like everybody said, thanks, guys, man.
Yeah, I just really appreciate everybody taking the time to tune in and for their interest in the band. Just keep us in prayer. God's doing something with us, and we're going to be faithful with what it is. We really do hope to get out there and see everybody. That's where we're at right now in what we're doing in this whole band thing. We've got to get out there and minister to the folks, and that's what we're going to be about. So if you're in the Tennessee area, Clinton, Tennessee, on February 17th at the Warehouse, that's where we're going to be. That's where we're going to drop the bomb. We'll be there with...
Don't say bomb, Bob, not in this day and age.
I'm bringing the Jesus bomb. I don't care if you don't like it. Who
just
don't like it?
Just in case the NSA is listening in on this.
Yeah, let them listen in. I got the Jesus bomb for you. And when Jay gets a hold of you, he's going to love bomb you. So if you're listening tonight and you come out and see us in Tennessee, come up and talk to us, man. We'd love to meet everybody. We're really... pretty funny and crazy to hang out with. We've tried to keep it toned down tonight and try and keep it on a serious note. But next time we come, Dale, let's have a little fun, man.
Oh, dude, in a heartbeat, man. Yeah, dude, but, you know, we got to do an interview. We did have some fun in there, man, you know. I got to say rock star a few times, as long as I get to say that. And you guys are going to be, that 17th is going to be with Brim. Good band. Good bunch of guys. Like them a lot, man.
Would we play with Fish?
Hey, Will, I'm going to need to give you a call, man, dude. I'm going to... I have to get one of those T-shirts you guys are talking about. I need to order one. It ain't on your website, man.
Just, you know, I'll get with you on that.
Email us.
Yeah, email us, and we'll
get
also, you taken.
We're also in Tennessee. It's going to be with Eden. I believe that's the other band.
Eden's Way or something Eden's like Way. That.
It's on the MySpace. Check it out.
Yeah, and, I mean, you'll really like that gig because we're going to be playing with some Fish. I'm sorry.
Man, you all are not right.
Hey,
I just want y'all to know what a privilege it is to serve with these guys, and for God to give me the vision to work with them. They are truly an anointed group, a pleasure to work with. There's never a dull moment with them, as I'm sure you can figure out
with them.
After the interview tonight on your own. The February 17th show will be in Clinton, Tennessee at the Warehouse. And it is with Brim and Eden's Way.
Hey, appreciate that, PJ. We're going to get down there. We're going to have a blast in February. Tell Karen, I know y'all are remodeling that house. Just tell her we're going to tear it down when we get there.
You all are a bunch of good people. I don't think we've ever had an interview with anybody that wasn't top notch, and we always pray for everybody that we come in contact with.
Hey Dale, I just realized why you're pushing the band Brim so much, because it's a fish.
Oh, you finally figured that out? No, these guys are really good. I even told them to say hi to you on there. They have a board, Mike, that Mike runs, and I told them to say hi to you. So I told them to go up to Will and tell him he's a rock star, man. You'll love you.
Bob and I have got to leave. It's 1 o'clock our time, and we've got some things we've got to do. You know, Bob gets real irritable when he's up past nine.
All right, knock it off.
But we want to say that we appreciate everyone who attended. Thanks to Dale and Leah for being good friends and really pushing us and being encouragement. And for Jim, of course, we've thanked him before. And all I got to say is don't break a hip, Jim. Geritol works wonders. But on a serious note, we just want to let y'all know that what you hear with the interview and what you hear in the music is we're just real. We're not running around trying to be. Bob's really stupid. But we're just, you know, what you see is what you get. We're not any different in person except we look a whole lot better, don't we? Thanks a lot for the opportunity to speak to the masses. Now, just remember, and I think we'll leave you with this final thought. Remember, if you can't be an athlete, be an athletic supporter.
My final word to Dale is that where we live at, the term rock star is what they call crackheads. Have a good night.